Dublin.
Gül sözleri.
Women got the melanin dripping, L-O-N-D-O-N, city girl living in the back, looking like fire, chili pepper. You're a bad girl, tougher than imperial leather. He was getting bitter while she was getting better. Diamonds are forever. Miss Sierra Leone looking like a gem, works hard in the week, party on the weekend. Know you wanna live with no one watching how you spend. Got a thing for the finer things and the finer men. Miss Tanzania, she a do or die. Says she wanna know more about the Sukuma tribe. We hit the zoo, once wasn't enough. Got an ocean full of knowledge, you could scuba dive. Miss Ethiopia can play so jazzy. They sit you down to school, you want Selassie. Tell them you're nothing without a woman, no. Woman to woman, I just wanna see you glow. Tell them what's up. You repping for your country, son. Kissing your brown skin, looking like money. Says she focusing on being an accountant. When you have beauty and brains, they find it astounding. Why she been getting it on her own, nigga? Self-made, ain't nobody doing gold, nigga. Now Miss India always speaks with her chest. Got respect from her people, cause she leads them the best. Real life queen in the flesh. Know the crown get heavy, still the bees on your head. Brooklyn ladies, know you hustle on the daily. Innovative just like Donna Summer in the 80s. Your time is seeing you glow now. Intelligence and elegance, show them how. Miss Jamaica understand food for the soul. She get up in the kitchen or she throw down. Ain't nothing without a woman, no. Woman to woman, I just wanna see you glow. Tell them what's up. She a gonna girl, calm with it, never let the marijuana fail. Though a sucker for the romance, take you to the homeland. One way, she ain't coming back, nah. All I see is black stars and I friggin' love it, yeah, yeah. Time's up, tell the people that we coming, yeah, yeah. Done being in the shadow, going public, yeah, yeah. Don't know how to bear it, how to stomach, yeah, yeah. Hand over the shit and let us run it, yeah, yeah. All we know is looking clueless, all they know is stairs, stir. Ain't nothing without a woman, no. Woman to woman, I just wanna see you glow, glow, glow.
Welcome back to the finale of G-Talks Radio at Newink Series. Hi, shout out to the camera. G-Talks Radio at Newink is a special series that brings together the diasporic approach of G-Talks Radio and the experimental ethos of Newink, the first museum-led incubator of art, design, and technology founded by the New Museum in 2014. Each episode is a peek into the practice of storytelling through different mediums, curating advice and visibility for communities navigating the emerging landscape of art, technology, and entrepreneurship. Between conversations, featured guests share a playlist of their most played recent tunes as a sonic backdrop to their creative process. The show is now recorded live at the Newink office, reimagined as a vessel for dissecting the intersectionality of art, design, and technology through individual conversations. And today, for the finale of this episode, we don't have other mics. Brought my OG mic recording tool, my good old Yeti, to bring it to the office, so now truly sound like we are in an office, you know, when we're doing the sound testing aspect of things. And you might be surprised, who do I have next to me right now? So Shushi is a producer and founder of LG, a Singapore-based company focused on solving for the distribution gap in XR. By leveraging community as audience and fostering international co-productions and partnerships with newer vendors and venues, LG also has an original content arm focused on financing, supporting, and building an ecosystem of underrepresented creators either using or interested in AI and XR tools. This is Shushi. How's your day? How's life? What's up?
So good. How are you?
Good. I know demo just ended it, so this is kind of like an interview where we dissect deeper about our experience and overall, you know, your story and anything that's started from LG and started from Shushi. So what is LG?
Well, you summed it up really well. It's a company focused on expanding audiences for XR and new media. But my whole mission with LG is really to shatter what we understand to be the types of audiences that attend museums, that explore art and tech, because I just find that folks who wouldn't consider themselves to be, say, the right audience, like the cool enough audience, are often the ones who benefit the most from experimenting and experiencing these amazing artworks. And I just want to figure out a way to get works to them better and in a more sustainable way, while also helping artists create sustainable business models and revenue streams so that they can sustain their practice over the next decade and they're not, you know, beholden to tech companies or the market or other forces that are out of their control, even grants, for example. So that's the sort of the algae-verse idea that I have been birthing.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. A lot of layers. Different arms, actually.
Woo! Octopus.
Talking about ocean. I know how you talked about the relationship between corals and algae that you really centered in your demo talk. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Demo Talk if you want to listen to Sushi's Demo Talk.
And G's Talk.
Thank you. You could always find that on YouTube. How has that metaphor shaped your experience up to this point?
That's a good question. So just for context, for anybody listening who hasn't listened to the talk, corals and algae have what is known as a symbiotic relationship, which means that the algae provide the corals with the food that they need to survive. And I'm talking about shallow water corals that are close to the surface so that they can access sunlight.
Right.
Deep water corals don't have that. I just don't want biologists coming after me like, hey.
Hey, yo.
Just a clarifying. Sorry. but essentially, they have been in this mutualistic relationship for 200 million years. And when I started this company, I didn't really know about this aspect of algae. And the deeper I went into the metaphor and the deeper I connected with my mission of building sustainable practice, building strong communities with art and with technology, I started to see a lot of parallels. So I've been really passing out this analogy with corals and algae to get creative people, but also communities and also general public, general audiences, thinking about what are these invisible structures? Because in this case, people don't know that the algae exists within the coral because they live within inside of it, right? You don't see it. You see the beautiful coral reef ecosystem. But the algae are a critical part of it, so that so much so, actually, that when ocean temperatures rise and because of climate stress and, you know, pollution and low tides, the algae leave the coral and they go off, and that is what leads to coral bleaching. So all these white corals that you see is because of the algae leaving. And there's something dark and consequential about that, because we are all upheld by these invisible structures and systems in society that we just don't name. Sometimes we don't even know. And I think the act of being able to render those invisible structures visible is what will help us build the new systems for the new world order. Because where we're sitting right now as a society globally, things are not working for the most number of people. So in order to build those new systems, first we need to speak the truth to power. And that's hopefully, and that's what my demo talk was about. That is what I hope people got out of it. And yeah, check it out. But this is the gist. Does that cover it?
Yeah, it does. Okay. And I think, like, you know, we talked about ecosystem. We talked about, like you said, what is invisible, what is visible.
Yeah.
To you, or I guess representing LG, well, you're the founder. Diving into this ecosystem, navigating both the visible and this murkiness mm-hmm. that you talked about, mm-hmm. what are the invisible layers that you're seeing mm-hmm. or we are starting to see in the creative spaces? Mm-hmm. When we talk about the murkiness of it all, like, can you pinpoint these murkiness rather than, like, because I know invisibility of these layers are different from people, because what fuels my, you know, quarrel is different from what fuels your quarrel. What is my LG and what is your LG is very different at times. But I think, could you pinpoint some that you see in the creative space or creative tech spaces of these murkiness that you noticed that actually fuels the quarrel?
Yeah, I'll give you two examples.
Yeah.
One is the mega tech companies mm-hmm. that build these technologies, say virtual reality and the headsets, right? Yeah. You have maybe five players, majority market shares dominated by Meta. A lot of the artists that I've been working with who have been making VR for, say, 10 years, mm-hmm. have made VR films that have premiered and gotten awards, you know, Meta will install some kind of change or they'll update their software and there'll be glitches in the new, and then they'll have a new headset, and it's kind of, I've watched creators sort of go with the flow that Meta sets, mm-hmm. not the thing that's best for their work mm-hmm. or that the art that's being created within it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one example. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know. I don't know if there's a value judgment to it, but I haven't noticed a lot of that being talked about. Mm-hmm. Also because folks don't really know where to stand with it, which is, we don't, of course, we need the headsets because we love playing around with them. And I think immersion as a concept is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're beholden to the decisions of a profit-based company, which in theory, in a healthy ecosystem, is fine. But in an unhealthy ecosystem where checks and balances are constantly changing, where corporate cycles are constantly going up and down, and we're in many different shifting corporate cycles, at one time you can say climate is great, at one time you can't say DEI, like, it's all beholden. And this is the stuff that we're not talking about openly.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects the pipeline going from, you know, exhibition to wider distribution.
Right.
And that's one example. The second example is also, like, the grant-making process, right? The fact that the XR industry in the UK, for example, or in Europe in general, is much more funded by governments, but in the US it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So you rely a lot on independent donors or on the corporate donorships and foundations, right? And Asia is an entirely different market.
Absolutely.
Africa is an entirely different ecosystem. So we need to have these conversations because mm-hmm. Without it, the idea of sustenance shifts and changes. And also international co-productions and collaborations
mm-hmm.
are affected by these power dynamics. So to answer that question, I think that would be the closest example I could give.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, as you rightly said, it's so dependent on individual practices.
Yeah.
And what I'm hoping to do with this analogy is really get artists, creative practitioners to examine those layers for themselves.
And absolutely.
To obviously in a trusted space.
Yeah.
But to be able to say, like, this is what is a roadblock.
Yeah.
Or this worked for me 10 years ago, it's not anymore, and mm-hmm. this art is not reaching the people or maybe creating the impact that I wanted to create.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not creating revenue, it's not creating value for people that helps them live good lives, mm-hmm. that makes their spending of their time and energy and money worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and I'm tired of being jerked around by dominant players.
Right.
That's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to see this renaissance of artist-led things, which is, I think, what Newink is amazing at and mm-hmm. is leading the way. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Light is tone. Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. I sit in silence and find whenever I meditate. My fears alleviate, my tears evaporate. My faith don't deviate, ideas don't have a date. But see, I'm growing and getting stronger with every breath. Bringing me closer to heaven's doors with every step. As we speak, I'm at peace, no longer scared to die. Most niggas don't believe in God and so they terrified. It's either that or they be fearing they gon' go to hell. Asking the Father for forgiveness, God, I'm overwhelmed.
as it be spiteful, like them white folks that control the jail. See, I believe if God is really never judge a man, because he knows us all and therefore he would understand. The ignorance to make a nigga take his brother life, the bitterness and pain that got him beating on his wife. Like,
I know you desperate for a change, let the pen glide, but the only real change come from inside. But the only real change come from inside. But the only real change come from the cemeteries are in chains, I see men cry. But the only real change come from inside. But the only real change come from inside. But the only real change come from
prodigal son, got a new gun. This one don't run out of ammo lately. Been working on my handles. Can I ball? Become a star and remain myself. If I fall, dust it off and regain myself. Fuck them all. They don't know all the pain I felt. I'm in awe. After all the fame I felt, I evolve. I no longer bury demons. I be a vessel for the truth until I'm barely breathing. I'm singing.
It's all about the evolution.
I give up, I move back a little. I lift up, I look up, now I'm back for more.
You can drink, but don't neglect the execution.
Time of niggas threw their hands. All of a sudden, niggas popping trunk and then we scram. Finger on trigger, make a little nigga understand what it's like to finally be the motherfucking man. Eyes wide, that's from the power that the coward feels. Niggas die for bitches disrespecting dollar bills. Bloodshed then turn the city to a battlefield. I call it poison, you call it real. That's how you feel.
Pistols be popping and niggas dropping a heartbeat. Scattered like roaches, a body laid on the concrete. Body laid on the concrete. Look, somebody laid on the concrete. No time for that, ain't no looking back, cause I'm running too. I made it home, I woke up and turned on the morning news. Overcame with a feeling I can't explain, cause that was my nigga James that was slain. He was 22.
Last night, around 7.
He was 22.
22-year-old black male, suspect. Swear to God, bro. We're gathered here today. Mourn the life James Brickley Jr. I swear to God, I think I'm gonna kill him. Tragedy, another tragedy in the black community. We got to do better, people. 22 years old, this boy was too young. Our condolences are with his family, our prayers. We know he's in a better place. We know he's in a better place. But this has got to end, ladies and gentlemen. We got to come together. This is beyond words. I'd like to open this ceremony with a verse.
You expanded as well, like, what is this LG that's holding communities together?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, what is it that's really special about what you see in New Ink? Mm-hmm. And, like, what is it, let's talk about demo.
Yeah.
You know, within that, mm-hmm. what are some LG that you see that is maybe something that you see in value in for a partnership or, like, support, you know, mutual support in the long term? It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be, like...
Yeah.
It can be for revenue, but at the same time, like, what are these values that you're noticing in these artists or practitioners, whether it's the showcase or, you know, the onstage talk? Mm-hmm. What is this LG that's holding? Is there a similarity among these people? Is there a commonality?
You mean within demo?
Exactly. Yeah. Because we talked about a larger scale of, like, mm-hmm. what is the things that we're not addressing, but then what are the things that are emerging?
Mm-hmm. You know? I like that question.
Yeah.
I think the inherent interdisciplinarity mm-hmm. of all of the folks at New Ink makes them able to cross definitions mm-hmm. of what even is VR. I mean, virtual reality, even as a word, is interpreted. It can be interpreted in so many ways. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of power to taking that interdisciplinary culture and going, how can we build sustainable ecosystems? For example, right? Like, from a business standpoint, maybe an XR artist invests in a product of some kind, mm-hmm. or they make something tangible that they can sell, a book, for example, right? I think my thinking being, how can you design a world around the world that you're building
yeah.
that actually has touch points for people,
mm-hmm.
And there's exchange of whether that's money or that's time mm-hmm. or that's, I don't know, some kind of online documentation.
Yeah.
It's just creating more wider streams. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that a lot happen, but yeah. I think there's still a lot of hesitation and fear
absolutely.
To talk openly
mm-hmm.
about these things because it's like, well, what if we don't have the support to do this? Yeah. And I understand that mm-hmm. and I don't compel anybody to render their invisible visible yeah. or to be like, what's your algae? And like hold, it's not a, mm-hmm. it's a very personal process and yeah. it's a very team-based process
yeah,
and an industry-specific process.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see that that's already something people are thinking about. Either there was the panel that we did a demo, I mean, one of the artists, Zavi, they talked about how time is an algae in yeah. their work, right?
Yeah.
Which is just such a cool response because, I mean, of course it is. It's how is our current world shaping the way we understand time,
right?
And therefore happiness, and therefore life, and therefore value, and therefore art, and therefore you know resources. It all ties in together. So I think even abstract interpretations are welcome,
mm-hmm.
and they're exciting to see kind of pop up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a demo, it was really cool.
We talked about outside, the inner, the whole entire ecosystem.
Yeah.
How can artists and creatives position themselves as they continue building their own ecosystem?
I fully believe that part of ecosystem building is tapping into existing communities and
yeah.
structures.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what works for you. If you're building X, Y, and Z,
mm-hmm.
where are audiences already sitting?
Yeah.
Where can you already go that people maybe have interest and then create buzz in that way? Also, what other offerings can you give people? Not just the work that you're doing. One example that I had, I mean, again, these might be shit examples, but the example I had was like, say, a VR film about an ocean. I find that the ocean community, ocean-loving community, is very dedicated to this.
Super.
And they're very curious about elements, and the ocean itself is just so expansive.
Yeah.
So one of the suggestions I've been thinking about, have a magazine, like have a newsletter every 4 months, and maybe create a subscription model.
Mm-hmm.
Like have people pay $5 or $10 a month for a magazine. Scale that offering.
Yeah.
Like a membership is not difficult to scale.
Yeah.
We do it. We pay for Spotify. We pay for Netflix. Like there's already in that business model is already there.
Yeah.
And you don't have to scale the XR. No one's saying send VR headsets to people.
Mm-hmm.
But you're creating a universe where people are offering something that they get in return, which
mm-hmm.
is knowledge, value, exciting events, creativity, products. Create like a publication.
Mm-hmm.
And then have the VR kind of be part of that ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe have it as like an exclusive experience where
mm-hmm.
people pay a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
To just get creative about how we're building sustainable revenue. Because
mm-hmm.
those scalable things can then provide the revenue for the XR work
mm-hmm.
that is not necessarily tied just to that.
Because mm-hmm.
we're not in an we're not in a market yet where people can are purchasing the latest headsets and the latest technologies, because that's just not the world we're living in right now.
Yeah.
And it could be in a couple of years, but I just think it's a healthy way to approach creative practice because you're building community from the ground up as opposed to kind of this top-down rolling out products at this mass scale and depleting the climate, which is unfortunately the way that corporations work, right? Is like
yeah.
you don't really, there's not a lot of transparency around Where are the raw materials coming from?
Mm-hmm.
What are the labor practices around it? There isn't any transparency, at
mm-hmm.
least not in my understanding,
mm-hmm.
At least not for regular consumers, people
mm-hmm.
with 9-to-5 jobs. So I think that would be my push. But again, it is deep work, and I don't want to suggest that I have answers for these things, nor do I have extensive business experience. But what I do know is that community saves us.
Yeah.
When all else breaks,
mm-hmm.
our people are what save us. And we've seen it, I've seen it through the practice of my mother and my grandmother, like the way that they cultivate people around them.
Yeah.
We've seen it, it's in matrilineal cultures, you know, community is what family, expanded families, extended families, chosen families, that's what keeps people going.
Yeah.
And so if there's a way you can create a world around, you know, your brand, like almost like a mini brand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm suggesting to artists now, to like expand out, create, because that's not, you cannot rely anymore on international trade forces or any of these existing structures.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
can you tell me what you hear when I say that as an artist yourself? Like, how does that resonate with you, if at all?
It's building community. And I think
right.
like not directly from, I just think I never really spend too much time and truly feel like my art could profit off the mainstream.
Like, you never felt that way?
Yeah, I never thought that I could do that. And I think, like, just because of, like, the narrative that I'm going for, a lot of times the market depends. It really depends on what how I package myself for someone to be able to, like, digestible, I should say it like that. But I think now, though, especially watching and, like, you know, knowing you and, like, talking to you, I think there are so many ways that I could build my truth through all these different communities.
Right.
Especially when we talk about making the invisible visible, I think to me my truth is through sharing stories and narratives and stories, like, just, like, through different mediums. And I haven't really, I tapped into that, but I think truly unleashing that potential is what you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, ecosystem looks like octopus, you know?
Yeah, bro.
So many different ways of, but in the end, you cater to your own truth. Like, what is the center that has always motivated to do your work? That's what I took away from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you say relying on different trades and whatnot, I think as artists, sometimes we, at least for me, I solely see it as, like, a market exchange from what I could create to what someone could take.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from this narrative of, like, building so many more rather than just give and take relationship, it expands the depth of how, even, like, fuels me, you know, mm-hmm. how long I could go. Because just by giving and taking, one day I will run out of energy to give. And when I take, and this, a lot of times things I take back does not reflect the values of my work. As in, like, when I say take it back, is more so, like, financially, like, what money has contributed to my entire flow. But once you have different outlets, let's say community or, like, some sort of, like, even intellectual building too, that could really expand your audience. Because once there is more community aware of, you can't just access art for the sake of, like, it is accessible.
Mm-hmm.
It brings a different layer of, I don't know. I think building community also brings awareness. Because a lot of times people are not even aware of certain community exists. And once they know, like, the power of building certain, I don't know, community reaches community. Someone that might not resonate with my art understands my message and it itself is intersectional. And then they will bring it out to another, you know, stream of community. I don't know.
I think what you're trying to say is kind of global.
I truly think in one aspect is my ecosystem will clash with someone else's ecosystem because there are shared values.
Sure.
But that's how I see a bigger community, like, just from taking away from you. Like, yes, I could build my own ecosystem, but there's so many more that could collide, you know?
That's, I think, what I've always believed is the stories that resonate are the most unexpected ones.
Absolutely.
Like, well, the films or movies or TV shows or whatever I grew up watching often had nothing to do with me. It was always different, but it offers something new. It offers a shared humanity.
Yeah.
And I think we have to access that and not let that get lost in the idea of communalism in a sort of protective way, but community is a source of strength, as a mutualism. And another thing I was thinking about when you were talking was also, you know, we, as I think artists are tasked with the job of carrying the weight of commentary in society. So I do think we're really good at saying, oh, this is an anti-capitalist film, or, like, this film suggests, et cetera, et cetera. Like, here we're representing these people and this diversity and this, et cetera. But what I'm hoping will happen and what I'm hoping will push people with algae is your process also upholding those values?
Mm-hmm.
Because what is the point of art? No, because what is the point of saying your work is X, Y, and Z, but you're unable to put people at the, like, your own, pay people on time, or you're not transparent in your own expectations of what you want from an exchange, or that, you know, majority of wastage is happening in the way that resources are managed. And it's not to shame or shade or criticize any specific practice, but it's to say, when we say artist-centered, artist-led, doesn't mean everything needs to fall on the artist. Right? The gist of what I'm saying is I hope that the commentary that we're creating within really beautiful pieces of art, radical pieces of art, shifting pieces of art also reflect in the way that they're being practiced and brought out to people and also brought within the production space. We have to talk about it because that's why I find myself getting more frustrated is we can't call ourselves, you know, all of these wonderful titles, and there's so many, you know.
Yeah.
but not be about it. You have to be about it.
Absolutely.
You have to be about it in your day-to-day, in your kindness practices, in the way you treat people, in, yeah, just, I haven't seen that, in your openness and your ability to listen.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be me, 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 and then also anti-capitalist, because the whole entirety of community
de-center,
is...
Yeah.
You have to think about other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to think about resilience planning. You cannot think long-term if you're only thinking about yourself. You cannot plan for generations if it's only about you. I brought that up in my talk, and, you know, if you're going to think seven generations ahead, right, which is an indigenous principle,
yeah,
it is about, it is putting other people first.
Mm-hmm.
Without putting yourself down,
mm-hmm,
it's still, it's knowing that I exist because you exist.
Yeah.
Our humanity is tied.
Right.
Today, if there's something happening in the world, that is a shared humanity.
Yeah.
If there's suffering, that is a shared suffering.
Mm-hmm.
If there's joy, there's shared joy.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have one without the other. And I'm very sick of the labels of, like, you cannot call a work, cannot, it's frustrating. Be about it. Be about it. And I hope spaces like this and you know, artist practices and talking about practices opens that space up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Without necessarily giving away, you know, you don't have to give away everything.
Yeah.
I think there's this idea that, like, democracy means sharing everything all the time at all places. Sometimes it's actually very unkind to share because I don't want to hear it.
Absolutely, and it's really violent.
It can be violent too, and it can be extractive. There's a lot of layers to it, but I just hope a bit more honesty,
mm-hmm,
is written into the culture of, mm-hmm, art and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope we can use technology as a tool to do that within creative spaces.
Mm-hmm. We talked about technology and redistribution and this, yeah, way of, like, caring for community.
Yeah.
Inspired by this codependent nature of, mm-hmm, algae and coral,
mm,
circling it back to what we were talking about in the very beginning, how should we, or how can we, you know, how can things like wealth, tools, and knowledge be redistributed? Well, like, more so because we talked about the, not even a concept, but an ideology, a practice that we share,
mm-hmm,
with caring for community. But once we project those things on, you know, knowledge and, like, tools and wealth, like, especially with XR,
mm-hmm,
how do you, mm-hmm, like, how do you see these things could be redistributed through this, like, structure of algae?
So I'll start with, I mean, algae is a governing principle.
Yeah, of course.
XR is an umbrella for many technologies.
Mm-hmm.
How those technologies are deployed or, like, activated.
Yeah.
Its own universe, as,
yeah,
you know. There's location-based entertainment, there's at-home experience, I mean, there's augmented reality in public spaces,
mm-hmm,
augmented reality at home,
mm-hmm,
there's games, mm-hmm, that are just purely games,
mm-hmm,
there's games that are LARPs, like, there are so many layers, so I'm not going to attempt to try to generalize,
yeah,
any specific technology or specific practice. Algae is a governing principle, talking about art and technology,
yeah,
all of the many, many things within,
mm-hmm,
it. As we know, people can go check out the New Ink website. There's amazing documentation,
mm-hmm,
of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I think we need to do.
Mm.
Attention is a commodity right now.
Yeah.
And it has been commodified.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame people for that. I blame the systems that we're in. I blame greed.
Yeah.
If you would. Not blame, but just holding greed accountable is kind of the thing that's kept us from paying attention beyond the noise.
Mm.
I think technological intervention or creative intervention with interesting technology tools can create experiences of awe and value that shake people from their regular day-to-day, right? Because it's offering something new.
Yeah.
Not to say that awe and technology are mutually, it's a complicated conversation because awe, there's a book by Dr. Keltner on awe that I read. It's a study about what awe is, and he actually talks about this. Like, VR is not awe.
Mm-hmm.
Awe is a thing that, awe is a misunderstood emotion because it happens in the strangest of places, the most unexpected of places. Awe happens when you're crying. Awe happens when you're looking at the sun, you know, set over a horizon. Like, there are these, you cannot manipulate awe. The,
yeah,
beauty of awe is that it exists and it's a moment and it transpires and then you feel something.
Mm-hmm.
I was going somewhere with this. So my point is, like, with this world of kind of constant doom scrolling and just kind of numbness,
yeah,
I do think XR and creative technology can be a very interesting intervention in that moment for general consciousness.
Mm.
And through that, we can open up portals for,
mm-hmm,
conversations on redistribution.
Because,
mm-hmm, saying to somebody on the street, like, let's talk about wealth redistribution, they're like, what? But you create, you give them something that makes them feel something.
Yeah.
from medium and message,
mm-hmm.
that's powerful.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of power. And yeah. that power should be, I think, understood a little deeper than mm-hmm. just, I'm going to give people cool experiences. It's mm-hmm. not just cool experiences. It's deep experiences. It's meaningful shifts in human consciousness. It's mm-hmm. like raising people's awareness of what we live in, the mm-hmm. worlds and the times that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Not just from a, you know, journalistic perspective, but from mm-hmm. a speculative perspective,
mm-hmm.
giving people the ability to imagine different futures, mm-hmm. to interact with one another differently. Which is, again, where, like, audience interactions make a huge difference in the way that we create. So all to say,
mm-hmm.
when I say things like wealth distribution, tools redistribution, what I'm talking about really is a new way forward.
Mm-hmm.
Using XR as a portal, using technology and the ability to capture people's attention mm-hmm. as a portal into a new world order.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest thing.
Get off the sheets. I say a little prayer and I burn a spliff because I still didn't breathe. I'm on my feet and I know tons of niggas still hoping I quit. Chica, my shit legit. Kuselo me. No way I want to be, and so I still didn't push. Chica, and I don't ever feel to bring the heat. And then nobody's stopping this, so you can watch and see. I've never stopped in my life, so tell me why would I stop now? Much to achieve in my life, I hustle till the sun come down. So my spirit, you can't bring it down. You know I've never stopped in my life, so tell me why you think that I'll stop now. Oh no, no, I've never stopped in my life, so tell me why would I stop now. No, that's much to achieve in my life, I hustle till the sun come down. No, you can't go that in my heart, so my spirit, you can't bring it down. You know I've never stopped in my life, so tell me why you think that I'll stop now. Para, who say put you know if you single, tell the motherfucker. Drop a 16 bar on your favorite rapper. I'm a single nigga, wish this happy flow proper. Big giant 5'4 from smell dinner. You're looking at the mix of burner boy and two papa. With a sprinkle lock and lid and frack ocean shot. You get me shot. And you know send these people know they might retire.
See how your family gone gone. Oh, oh, fresh in me bone gone. And she told me when I don't come. Oh, oh. Tells me it's so how you feeling tonight? You see the people jamming tonight. And when the music playing all night, and you know I'll be doing it right. Later on in the night, you know I've never stopped in my life, so tell me why would I stop now? Much to achieve in my life, I hustle till the sun come down. I don't doubt in my hustle, my spirit, you can't bring it down. You know I've never stopped in my life, so tell me why you think that I'll stop now. No, 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 I've never stopped in my life, so tell me why would I stop now. No, that's much to achieve in my life, I hustle till the sun come down. No, you can't doubt that I'm a hustle, my spirit, you can't bring it down. You know I've never stopped in my life, so tell me why you think that I'll stop now. Bye-bye. Would you know if you single to the motherfucker? Drop a 16 bar on your paper rapper. I'm a single nigga, wish this happy flow proper. Big giant 5-4 from smelting.
And redistribution is also a complicated word.
Exactly.
Because philosophically, it can be looked at from many different perspectives. There's people who believe that redistribution implies, I mean, philosophers like Rawl who believe that redistribution implies you're taking something from people who have too much
mm-hmm.
and giving it to people, and that's generally not okay. You have to let people decide.
Yeah.
You can't hold them accountable. Like, taxation is a form of redistribution.
Right.
Okay, that's a specific system built on the values of redistribution, which mm-hmm. is that, like, if there's too much wealth in society concentrated at the top 1%, we tax them so that we can then redistribute it to people, hopefully to resources and to building things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very large-scale example of what I'm talking about, a very small scale.
Yeah.
But redistribution can also happen at a smaller scales.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this video yesterday that was really funny. It's like we live in times where people who make $750 an hour have convinced people who make $30 an hour that people who make $7 an hour are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world we're living in. We're living in these multiple layers of extremes that I think is the problem. It's gotten out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say redistribution, I'm just trying to poke, all I'm trying to say is a new way, a new balance of sorts in the world. And redistribution is a complicated word, I'm not going to lie. It turns some people off. They're like, we don't want to talk about this. Because honestly, a lot of folks with a lot believe that they have earned it and they have a right to have it. So why should they give it away? I've worked hard, my family's worked hard, I have so much. And I, to some extent, you cannot get into too much conversation with those people.
Yeah.
But what you can do with art is you can show the shared humanity.
Yeah.
What you can do with technology is intervene in how we feel somatically. Right. So much of the work at New Ink was about somatic, like
feeling,
body embodiment.
Absolutely.
How can embodiment be a tool to get people to understand how truly interconnected we are? So that, again, it's all about bringing that to light, that mutualism. We're all deeply tied, even if we don't want to believe it, even if it makes us really uncomfortable. Even if we don't want to believe that, like, our presence on this land is on stolen land, this is the truth. We are sitting here in Manhattan on stolen land of the Lenape Hoge people, right? Like, this is the reality. Does that make me a bad person? But that's not the point. To talk about good and bad is not the point. But to elevate that, to bring that up to light, is important. It's really, really important. It's a reckoning. And I think one thing I should clarify is, like, I'm not here to tell people what to do.
Absolutely, yeah.
That is the jurisdiction of me and my collaborators. So if an artist that I'm working with chooses to work with me, then we go down that route.
We figure
out what is the thing that we're building together. And that's what I'm in the process of doing right now. But the reason I wanted to share this knowledge publicly, or maybe share this analogy publicly, because I do want more and more folks to start thinking about how their art can elevate people in that way. So when we say things like community, communalism, when we say things like, I don't know, interconnection, I mean, after a point, semantics are important, but the point is to understand that shared humanity, to understand shared violence, to understand history and timelines and time in better ways than we do. Is that helpful?
Yeah, absolutely.
In more specifics of what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I might not use the word redistribution moving forward either, because it might, you know, redistribution also to some extent implies that we're already in a system that works.
Yeah.
And if we need a new world order altogether, then there's no point. Then it's just building a new world.
Right? Exactly.
There's no need. And that's, again, the criticism of philanthropy.
Yeah.
Because philanthropy assumes.
Yeah.
We're in the world. It's all good. Like, if rich people just gave poor people their money,
we're good.
Yeah. And it's not like that, because the system is so designed to keep people in these class-based infrastructures that, you know, and globally, it's a global ecosystem with a lot of nuances. So again, to bring it back from this broad level to creative experiments with technology, the reason I think that they're powerful is because I do think that they have the ability to, and when I say they, I mean these artistic experiments, they have the tools to get people aware of that interconnection.
Absolutely.
To bring the ocean to people in the mountains.
Yeah.
And I'm just using a metaphor of the ocean because it works, but my point is, to bring stories of communities like yours to the middle of nowhere in Argentina, for example. Like, my point is to say that that's exciting to me. That's what this company is about. But it has to be done carefully, it has to be done mindfully, and it has to be done with an awareness of the histories that we live in.
How do you protect and energize the people you work with?
Honestly, without sounding kitschy and self-promotion-y, which is not what I'm doing,
Algae
was because I was already doing that.
Yeah.
And doing that is just naming power. So in research, for example, you know, there's so much about consent that we don't consider, especially being at big research institutions or working with brick production companies. Like, how much of your information are we consenting when we do research? Collective, co-creative, communal research, whatever. Research. Like, what does research mean? Who gets to benefit? Like, being able to say to collaborators, let's have an honest conversation about A, who's invisibly already benefiting from your labor, and B, who do we want to benefit from your labor? Then we can shift that. And I think me being a producer and someone who supports creative work, being able to say that, I've noticed that artists kind of relax. And they go, oh, she gets it. She gets that there's complexity.
Yeah.
And it's not just about bulldozing your way to success.
Yeah.
It is about moving intentionally, moving in silence, moving with a lot of care. But it's not about just moving forth. Or if you're associated with an institution, whether that's an institution like a university, whether that's a company, whether that's, I don't know, a country, you could argue, it's how you navigate that, mm-hmm. it, which matters more. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, being able to, again, when I give name to it, it creates the teams of people that work with me kind of go, okay, she gets it. She gets what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
She gets what we're trying to intervene in. And then the second layer of trust is when I'm like, can I push you?
Mm-hmm.
To get to, so that we actually hold each other accountable to get to that point.
Absolutely.
But I think, look, the team spirit thing is very important to me. I don't have a full-time team yet. I'm very much looking. So if anyone is interested in what I'm saying or wants to work on resilience building for the creative world and audience access and just getting this stuff out there
mm-hmm.
in meaningful and interesting ways, get in touch. But yeah, I'm... But again, another reason I'm not rushing to build a team is because I want to do it properly.
Yeah.
I want to have enough resources to pay people properly. I want enough of a foundation for Algae so that I can communicate my ideas.
Then who are these experiences, the artistic experience that inspires you to feel like, okay, the new world is happening? Or have you seen those people that are doing things like that?
I've seen really amazing experiments with technology, 100%. Mm-hmm. I've spent the last couple of years going to festivals like Tribeca, IDFA,
mm-hmm.
Sundance used to, I think they still do maybe.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have, I think Copenhagen, I don't remember, there's a festival there.
Copenhagen does, yeah.
They have immersive
stuff.
So I think if there's anybody out there that's like, what are these? Go look up immersive XR art at these big major festivals. Museums are doing a great job of, like, I think a lot of museums are now picking up experiments with technology. New Museum is doing cool stuff. There's Art Science Museum in Singapore. There's other places. I don't think we have a dearth of great projects. Again, I've always said, like, the art is amazing.
Yeah.
The experiments are amazing. It's just how they're reaching people that's the problem. I'm not going to name any names, largely because I think curation is a skill and I don't have it yet. I'm just going to be like, oh, I liked that one 2 years ago. But it's not a curation skill. It's just me, Srishti Personal. So I don't want to put anything on Algae's name.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to get the word out there that these things exist. And they exist at film festivals. They exist at museums. They exist in the public sphere, right? Like if you look at amazing AR installations, experimenting, there's a lot of cool stuff happening. There's foundations that are, you know, being built to support this kind of work.
Yeah.
But again, what I'm interested in is not just creating more and more and more and more. We have to create more with intention.
Mm-hmm.
We have to create more that actually reaches people and helps people. in whether it's to entertain, whether it's to educate, I do want it to shift our understanding of economics too. I want it to shift how we exchange value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's obviously like a world of NFTs and blockchain and crypto, and I'm not necessarily commenting or talking about that. It's an option, and a lot of artists that I know have, there's an amazing New York Times article about a couple of artists who benefited from the NFT boom, and I don't think it's bad, by the way. I think do what you need to do to like hustle and get your work out there, but again, how can this benefit the largest number of people?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Art centered doesn't mean just benefits the artist.
Mm-hmm.
To me, art centered and artist led means it benefits all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the shift I want to see.
Only light. We will see.
Darling, darling. Oh, my hermano,
Podcast.
It is.
Tell me what stood out to you.
I think you know what's crazy is that the first episode the mic wasn't good. Not to shit on the last episode, but
hilarious.
You know. So I think it came a long way, and I think conversationally this is also a pivotal point for me to focus on what G Talks could be.
Yes.
I think for the longest time since 2018, I really, really focused on people's experience and visibility. Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways that's little me trying to figure out what I could be, you know?
Yeah.
It's not even strange, but I think I've always been very much fueled by community practice. And I think sharing or listening to another person's story really helps.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't have to be deliberately, which I never really try to be like, oh, so you are this, how do you navigate that, you know? It's more so just like, what's your experience? Like, how did you navigate your last project? Just like from an interviewer to an artist perspective, that has always been the format of my show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today it's a pivotal point, you know? You're someone I know, someone I care, someone I love. And on top of it, amazing, amazing entrepreneur. And like just a production.
Ooh,
just like
word.
So many.
I'll take it. We repurpose the word.
We repurpose. But like someone who is, let's say, a producer, a collaborator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think with that being said, and I think having this conversation with you really repurposed what I want G Talks could be. I want to listen, not even listen, I want to bring out stories for people to cultivate thinkings or like cultivate actions.
Yeah.
It doesn't just stop as in like, are you good enough to fit into the industry? It starts with you. Like it starts with why are you doing what you're doing? And that's it. You know what I mean? Not even that. I just feel like there's
honesty.
So many. Yeah, exactly. Honesty deeper than what it is. Deeper than your practice. Like deeper than. And end of the day, it's you as a person. And I think
that is what
I gravitate towards. It's who am I bringing into this space to hold this conversation and putting it out there?
And also, if I may add, not just who am I as a person, but who comes with me?
Exactly. Absolutely.
That's important. And I think
absolutely.
We have to move into that conversation.
Yeah.
Like, today you ask me, but I know I represent millions of girls who have not had opportunity like I have.
Yeah.
Not in a way that goes, I'm better than anybody, but in a way that says I understand my responsibility.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I understand my privilege. And because I understand my privilege and my responsibility, I am more of a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I carry the stories and the legacies of my ancestors, of my family, of my parents. And that's, I think we need to get to that level, like I am worthy of leadership in the way that's true to me. I don't have to conform or be or live within this. We can build new systems. That's what I hope people to get, and I hope I'm so excited for that journey for you.
Thank you.
So I know you're on it.
I think so too. I think really, like, truly it's about the community that comes with, not even comes with, but more so like, again, ecosystem clashing with ecosystem. And really clashing as in, like, understanding, like, hey, like, this one leg of my octopus is hooked on your leg just because we share similar value. And then we kind of, like, to me, the ecosystem that you talk about, the economics, is truly about, like, the small ecosystem that is within my, like, within my people and, like, someone else's community that kind of comes together. At least that's how I understood it.
Totally.
And I feel like that's what I want radio to do for, like, people. And because, like, Soundwave is such, again, like, we talked about sensibility.
Yeah.
Sound is a sensibility as well.
Is.
You know, I feel like when it comes to sensations, extended reality, which I also talked about in the Q&A panel, is that, like, sound could always export you to somewhere. And this, you know, our conversation could be carried by someone else somewhere. And, like, that. And a lot of times when I listen to people talk, I also think I'm in the conversation, you know? So I think understanding the power of sound and constantly producing, I think I'm going to let that lead me and see where I go. Because I'm always, and I feel like you're aware of this too, but I think as someone from such different, like, backgrounds and such and experiences, I constantly ask myself what's next, because out of security. With everything that's happening right now, you know? So I think, but this is like, But leading it with a different question feels more even true to myself, is that with this one mic, where can I go? You know, I feel like that's how you transport stories. My story to, like you said, like different, you know, the world, you know, and someone else's story to a different corner of the world. And I think radio has done that for me, literally through so many different countries and whatnot. And I think this is the point. It's like for me to go where else, you know? So not even where else, but just with this. So wherever that is, we'll see.
LG.media, my email is my first name at LG.media. So reach out if anything I've said interests you. Look, I'm figuring out as I go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to come on to anything and say, this is me, I know exactly what I'm doing. Nor do I want to project that this is all my original ideation.
Mm-hmm.
This is this is years of me talking to really experienced people.
Yeah.
I've been very fortunate to be in community with, you know, leaders of the XR industry. And they've become mentors and friends. And it's their vision, that their like support of me starting LG that's actually led me. And they know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, So, again, another example of, like, we're so used to being so pompous about our own achievements. Like, of course I know I'm strong.
Yeah.
But I'm not strong because I'm individual. I'm strong because of my parents.
Yeah.
I'm strong because of my brother. I'm strong because of my mentors and my friends, the ones who I have in my life, the ones I don't. I'm strong because of my grandmother who's not with me anymore. I'm strong because of her grandmother who's not with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfathers who are, you know, like, it's, my God, I want to see a world where artists and media are created in that way and created with community, even if it takes us time. So I hope the next few things that I'm doing, which is a lot of what you talked about in my intro about building a financial vessel for people to be supported in these kind of work. I want to find a way to incentivize artists and artist teams and collectives to create this kind of work and to experiment with new economic models. I want to also help develop relations for very experienced and like mid to late career artists who have been making amazing XR work and experiments with technology from like the 90s, kind of this archive of amazing work, and take it out to new audiences so that we can remember where we are in the timeline of technology history, which is something I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And and other lines that'll happen. I'm just experimenting as well from a business model. So stay tuned on our Instagram, which is also LG Media.
Mm-hmm.
Very small following so far, but hopefully, and if not Instagram, we'll find a way. It'll be alive. You'll hear of LG through the years, but you know, you never know when you're gonna hear about it. It'll happen. I'm also gonna enjoy my life, spend time with my family, and
as you should,
and just walk in nature, touch grass.
I feel grateful. I think Newing G Talk series has been fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
People I've met along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how I took action and really executed a series. Something that I never felt like I was as committed, you know, so I think that's a good thing, which I feel like I never really give up on radio. It was always happening. Consistency,
that,
you know,
part.
So I think this is a great series to close out on, and excited for what's next. But so far so good. I think I'm excited for in-person events. So
how can people find out about the work?
G Talks Radio, but talks.online is happening. That's happening. So, you know, if you're in New York this summer, you'll definitely hear about it somewhere, somehow. But thank you so much for all the supports for this series, especially folks that have been super supportive through New Ink. Shout out to the crew, people that made it happen for me with the equipments. But that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Gil Nial and Shushti. Talk to you soon.
with us.